Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Making presentations that really work well today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me, along with my co-host, Peter, in the studio today for the second part of our May communication article. It's called Less PowerPoint, More Power, and it's really about presentations. Actually, it's kind of about freeing your presentation from dependence on slideshow presentations, like slides or what's the other one? Pages? What's the Apple one? Slides, right?
I think it may just be slides, yeah. I'm not an Apple person.
I was an Apple user for years, and I can't remember. It's the age. The age is messing me up. Anyway, PowerPoint, you don't want to be totally dependent on it. That's what we've been learning about, right?
Right. You don't want to let it upstage you, that is, draw focus away from you when you're giving a presentation.
They actually have this deck on this article. I say they, but I mean, you know, really you, Peter. The editors of this magazine have this deck that is actually a pretty good summary of what we've been talking about. Lead the room, don't read to it.
Right.
So we've been talking about how, you know, especially if you are speaking in a language that is not your native language, there's sort of this desire to have your speech written out so that you can rely on it. And that's a perfectly understandable and sometimes justified sort of approach. But what people often do is they just put their speech on PowerPoint slides so that the audience can see the speech as they are reading the speech. And that is not probably the best way to get people excited or engaged in your presentation.
Exactly, because that was one of the main points we covered yesterday, is that for this entire article, the author is taking the approach. He's coming from the position that the purpose of your talk is to persuade and inspire, not simply to give information. If you are just giving information in some setting, then slides, I imagine the author would say, would be perfectly appropriate and maybe even helpful, but not if you are trying to get people excited. If you are trying to persuade and inspire them to do something, then the author strongly suggests not using slides at all, but if you have to use slides, then put severe limits on
them. Yeah, there's an English word that actually sort of describes the study of speaking and presenting. It starts with an RH. Do you know
rhetoric.
This word? Yeah, that's right. Rhetoric or rhetoric, depending on the context you are using the word in a sentence form, right? So this word, I mean, it basically is an entire discipline that people will usually not study directly in school, but public speaking is a big part of being a student in the West, right? Like you're making a speech every year and there's speech contests and things like that. So it's a subject that maybe English speakers are more broadly familiar with than necessarily people from other cultures and other school systems.
Quite possibly, yeah, because it does come out of an ancient Greek tradition and of spoken skills and use of language to persuade and to move an audience. And, of course, much of Western culture draws from and is based on practices and ideas from the ancient Greek civilization.
And I think just briefly, like you have a variety of tools, right? You can write something down, like on a worksheet or a report or something.
Sure.
You can make a presentation. You can make a video. You can deliver information in different ways. But it is very hard to inspire and motivate people through a report.
Yeah.
It's much easier when you do it in person. So I think the idea here is if you're trying to convey information, there's better ways of doing it than doing it during your speech. You may have to convey some information, but the real advantage you have by having the opportunity to give the speech is that you can inspire people's emotions,
yes,
motivate them and convince them to act on your behalf and support your point of view or whatever that is. And so the idea being here, I'm speaking sort of from a Western perspective here. The idea, I think, is that you want to use your speech in the best way you can for your purposes and use those other tools in the way you can.
Right.
For their purposes. So
exactly.
The points we basically had here, we had talked about this 10-20-30 rule. Peter, I think that came from like Google or one of those big Silicon Valley companies because it was kind of a popular subject of like workshops we did, you know, through our teaching services program here for a while. Anyway, the idea was basically like minimize your number of slides.
10
right?
slides,
so
no more.
Our tip from the article here was avoid slides wherever possible.
Right.
So the 10 was just 10 slides.
Yeah.
And then the other one was realize you're the best visual. And the idea then was to sort of keep your slides very simple so that they were not taking attention away from you as the speaker. And the 20 rule was basically less than 20 words per slide. So point form, bullet points.
Right, yeah.
To sort of keep you on track.
Not big, long paragraphs and such.
That's right. And then the 30 was like make the words 30-point font big so people can just sort of glance quickly at the slide, understand what it says, and then redirect their attention back to the speaker. But, Peter, that was not the end of the tips that this advanced article
was
going to
deliver.
The secret knowledge that is being delivered to our listeners today. So we have three more tips, listeners, and I would encourage you to open your May magazine. If you don't have it, consider getting one. It's a great way to support our program. Probably the easiest way for you, in fact. So,
yes.
Consider getting a magazine and reading along with us as we do this first reading now.
Three, make sure you have one clear, compelling message. Your leadership presence depends on a clear, credible, and well-supported message. The danger of using slides or visuals is that the whole presentation can easily become an information dump. And that's how it's usually delivered, fact after fact after fact. To save your presentation from the information junk heap, introduce a central message early on. For example, you might say, "The message of this presentation is," and keep that message front and center throughout. Apple reinvents the phone was the message Steve Jobs wanted his audience to take away when he introduced the iPhone. That's the reason Apple reinvents the phone was the only message on the slide, and he repeated it several times during the presentation to reinforce it.
This is kind of an interesting idea because it's idealistic in some ways. Mm. You know, like I think for a lot of people, the reason they're doing the presentation is because their teacher says, you have to do a presentation.
Yeah.
Or their boss says, you do the presentation.
Yeah.
They're not doing the presentation because they feel they have something that really needs to be shared with the audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of have to... You have to find that purpose if you want to do a presentation effectively.
Yes,
I think that's
the thing.
Basically the thing, right?
Right, because, so, yeah, sometimes you will just get assigned this. It won't always be something that's your idea from the start and that you're, you know, personally invested in.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's handed to you, but you've got to find a way to connect to it so that it is as though you're personally invested.
So the question you really want to answer here is like, what do I want to tell people? Like, why am I doing this presentation? And you're not allowed to say, because I have to.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to kind of come up with what they say here is a more compelling reason. They say you need a compelling message, which means a message that makes people have a sort of an emotional, passionate response and makes them want to do something about the thing that you are telling them about.
Right. And make sure it's just one clear and compelling message. It can be easy to have a bunch of ideas that you might want people to know and which might be valid and relevant ideas, but that can be too much. That can start to take us into the information dump area that we want to avoid. So
yeah.
Narrow it down to just that one clear, compelling message.
So we were talking about rhetoric as sort of this subject area that you could study, most people don't study, but we kind of have an awareness of. And there are a lot of words throughout this section that tie very closely to some of the ideas that are presented in that subject. So, for example, in the first sentence here, it says, your leadership, basically what that means is the willingness of the audience to follow your lead, to believe what you are saying and do what you want them to do, depends on clear, so they need to know what you want them to do, why you want them to do it, credible, meaning they have to think you have the authority to know what you are talking about. You're not just making it up.
Right. Credible, right? Meaning believable, trustworthy.
Yeah. And well-supported message. So that clear there, I mean, that I think is self-explanatory. The credible comes from ethos that we were talking about, mm-hmm. where people need to sort of believe that you have a reason to be speaking to them. And then well-supported is that logos, the rational, logical reason for doing this. So the danger of using slides or visuals is that the whole presentation can easily become an information dump where you're just delivering the information raw, but you're not demonstrating why they should believe you or demonstrating any sort of behavior that makes them feel anything about the information.
Right, and there's a nice description from the author of an information dump in the next line there. That's how it's usually delivered. Fact after fact, yeah. after fact. That's a good description of an information dump.
Yeah, they go on to talk about it as the being on the information junk heap.
Yes.
Meaning, I guess that's not a literal thing. That's kind of what people do with it mentally. Like they just stop listening.
Right.
They're like,
The information just keeps piling up and you know, your eyes start to glaze over and your attention wanders.
Yeah, what I end up doing is saying to myself, I can check this later if I need to.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll just reference it later if I ever have a reason to, but I don't need to understand it or remember it now.
Right, you're not connecting with it in the moment, and that is what it takes to be persuasive and inspirational as a speaker.
I mean, that is the death of your presentation, right?
Yeah,
people are saying,
just look at it later.
They're like, can I get a copy of this presentation?
Well, that request could mean one of two things, but
it's over.
It can mean that you haven't really connected with them.
Yeah. So what they're basically saying here is we should very clearly present our what and why we're trying to communicate. Right. We should say the message of this presentation is. Now, you don't have to use those words exactly,
right.
but you do want very clearly what your position is, what you want people to do kind of laid out. And then you keep that message front and center. Front and center, it's kind of like military language, hey?
Yeah, yeah. The sergeant will say, you know, Private Andrews, front and center, meaning come up here to the front of the line or the front of the group, in the center of the group, and I'm going to give you special instructions or something like that.
So that everybody can see you and you can be humiliated or yelled at. I guess it depends on your experience, right?
Yeah.
Your experience. But nonetheless, the message should be clear for everyone to see. Everyone should be able to watch it playing out. Then they give us this example of Apple reinventing the phone. I actually remember that. Does that make me old? Yeah, I think it does. Yeah. I remember the iPhone being introduced. Yeah.
I remember life before the iPhone.
Me too. Yeah. I remember things like, do you remember the Palm Pilot?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you remember Blackberries?
Yeah. Oh my. We are old, Peter. Look at this. Anyway, Steve Jobs, you know, it might not have been the first device to reinvent the phone, but it certainly was the one that has had the most lasting effect, the introduction of smartphones there. But when he did this presentation, actually, Steve Jobs' presentations are just famous anyway, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because they tended to be very simple and he used the same taglines over and over again. So people, you know, he did that whole one more thing kind of thing. And
right,
then he would bring out the big news, you know. So he played to the crowd very well. And basically, they're just giving us this example here from this presentation where he was introducing the iPhone. You know, this Apple reinvents the phone was the central message. And that was the entire PowerPoint presentation, right?
Right, right.
He was talking, so people knew that the whole thing was, there was some new kind of way of doing the phone coming out. And so they just listened to what he was saying as he was explaining it.
Right,
so
he just kept that message front
and Steve.
Center.
Go Steve, success. That brings us to our second reading. Let's do it together.
Four, present with great conviction. Having slides doesn't lessen the need to show your commitment. Rather, it doubles that need. Own each visual. provide a narrative that shows you're in charge and that the deck is just a supporting character. As you walk through the presentation, state the message of each visual before showing it. Say, as you'll see, this next slide argues that convincingly. Strengthen your voice and body language. Your voice should be forceful and varied, in keeping with the substance you're conveying. Emphasize your points by looking at the audience and using pauses, as if to say, "Did you get that?"
Okay. So, conviction means you believe it. Believe it very strongly, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Conviction. Yep. We encountered that word yesterday, where in the last section of our reading yesterday, there's a line that says, when the section that's talking about how you're the best visual rather than the inanimate slides, it should encourage you to keep the presentation focused on you and your convictions,
your
passionately held beliefs.
Your position.
Exactly.
About this, yeah.
But when it says here to present with conviction, with great conviction in this case, it means we're talking more about an emotional tone, to show that these are passionately held beliefs, yeah. Not just things that you know or believe to be true in a general sense, but that are especially important to you and you think it's important to your audience.
Now, again, listeners, if you have been told to make a presentation by your boss and it is not the most exciting topic that you feel passionate about, this is your issue. If you want to do this presentation very well, you're going to have to find that passion. I suppose, alternatively, you can rely upon that classic English idiom, fake it till you make it, right?
Yes.
Which basically means you pretend you are passionate about it until everyone believes you are passionate about it, and then you might feel more passionate about it.
Yes, yes, which will have the effect of often making you genuinely more passionate about it if first you fake it. Because sometimes we get a sense of, well, how passionate should I be about something that I'm supposedly passionate about? And that can be different from person to person. So the idea of that expression is simply not to worry about how strongly or the degree to which you feel something, but just pretend, you know, if it doesn't come naturally, if you are wondering about it, pretend that you're passionate about it and behave that way, speak that way.
Yeah. So having slides doesn't lessen the need to show your commitment. So basically here, the way I would rephrase this is having a PowerPoint presentation doesn't mean you should relax and settle yourself behind the speaker's podium. Podium is that little table that you stand behind when you're the speaker.
Yes.
So, you know, don't just settle in and relax because you're like, oh, they'll see the PowerPoint.
Right, they'll get it from
the slides. It doubles your need for passion because the PowerPoint is going to be competing for your valuable attention.
Right,
so you need to bring the passion. Now, I want to say, I have been to many English storytelling contests where this is just grossly overdone.
Mm.
Children doing giant exaggerated actions and sort of fake passion pouring out, don't do it. People know when fake passion is fake.
Mm.
So you're going to have to find within yourself a real reason to have conviction, something you feel strongly about here, if you want to deliver a good presentation.
Right.
Don't just be fake.
Right.
I know that contradicts that whole fake it till you make it advice, but listeners, you're smart people. You're going to have to find this balance by yourselves.
Well, the paragraph itself gives us idea to work with there where it says, own each visual.
Yeah.
Interesting use of the word own here, sort of a more contemporary usage of the word own. It doesn't just mean to possess the visual or to have it, but to own it, meaning to take pride in it.
And responsibility for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As if to say, yes, that's my slide, and I'm glad it's my slide because this slide shows this.
Yeah.
And use it to bolster, to support, to enhance your own passion.
You know how you really know somebody is doing this? When you're watching a presentation and they are not reading, they're speaking, and then they click to the next slide, and it flows exactly with what they're saying.
Yes.
Like, you know that they are speaking about something they really know this presentation.
Yes, exactly.
Right? They're not just reading along. So timing as you move through your slides really shows that you are on the ball.
Right. It shows you that...
Just throwing idioms everywhere.
Yeah,
on
well,
the
here's
ball,
another one.
You
it
are
shows,
focused.
It shows that you are in the driver's seat. as we say.
Oh, there you go. You
know, taken from a car where somebody is driving the car, they're in the driver's seat, somebody else in the passenger seat next to them, and the person in the driver's seat obviously is the one who is taking the car where it goes. The passenger is, you know, just passively joining in that ride. So in a presentation, you want to show that you are in the driver's seat and not the slide. So the example Simon just gave of the person bringing up the slide at precisely the right moment, when it fits in, when it flows with what they are saying, that is a good use of slide because it shows that the speaker is using slides, but the speaker is in the driver's seat.
I mean, the obvious question here is like, how do you show you're in control? And the second paragraph in this reading kind of gives you insight into this. We won't go into this too much, listeners, because you are advanced listeners. You're going to have to use a dictionary if you don't know any of this, but I think it's all fairly self-explanatory. Basically, they want you to use your voice and your body language to convey, to communicate your passion. So you emphasize your points by looking at the audience in the eye. Look at their eyes. Yeah. And use pauses as if to say, did you understand that? You see people asking questions of the audience that they don't really need to answer. Rhetorical questions, they're called, right?
Right.
Things like that. So this is how you convey your passion. And that brings us to our third reading. Let's do that.
Five, a call to action. Finally, end with a call to action. The call to action should echo the overall message that you began the presentation with. Explain to the audience what you want from them. Approval of the proposal? Buy-in? Or a full understanding of your argument and its implications for moving ahead? Your call to action might begin with, I trust you can see how redoubling our focus on using AI will be the basis for strong growth next year. Whatever your message, show how it can be implemented. If you do this successfully, you will have led.
All right, so end with a call to action. So this is kind of fitting with the theme we've been talking about here. You're trying to persuade people, like convince them of your point of view and get them to act it out, as in support you in making this thing happen. And so this part, this real call to action, meaning where you're asking them very clearly to do the thing you want them to be doing, comes at the end of the presentation, clearly.
Right. And this is something that I often stumbled on when I would preach sometimes at my church, was I would talk about a passage in the Bible and explain it and show why it's full of wisdom and all sorts of examples of God's love. But then I would not really end my sermon with a call to action, with encouraging the congregation to do something or to change their lives in a certain way because of what we've now seen in the biblical passage through the sermon. And so this is, I appreciate the author including this because it can be easy to just be passionate about something, but then leave people feeling a little bit clueless as to, okay, so now what do I do? What do we do? We're persuaded by you, but you know, specifically, what do you want us to do? And the couple examples given by the author, explain to the audience what you want from them. Do you want approval of the proposal? Do you want a buy-in? A good term there, buy-in, which just means agreement or willingness to participate in a plan or a policy. Make it clear, you know, don't just think that because you've conveyed your passion for the subject that the audience will know what the next step is. Make that next step crystal clear.
I think even before that, like in this call to action, you are clearly asking the audience to do something.
Yeah.
But what we've sort of maybe moved over too quickly here is that thing you want them to do should already be clear to them.
Mm.
So you're asking them, but they should already know what you want them to do because this should be connected to that key message, mm-hmm. right?
Right,
and so
exactly.
The language they use here is they say the call to action should echo the overall message. And echo, of course, you know, it's like you yell into a canyon or a gorge, like, hello, and you hear, hello, 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 hello. So it should be reflecting back the same message that they've been hearing throughout the entire presentation. So no surprises here. Right. No overly specific directions.
Right.
Just a general, clear stating of what you want from them. And approval of this proposal, buy-in, that's what they say here. So when they say approval of this proposal, you are looking for confirmation that they have been persuaded by your presentation. And that basically approval is the same thing as buy-in. So a buy-in here means, are they willing to purchase what you are selling?
Yeah.
Technically, but it really means, do they accept what you are offering?
Right.
And so this buy-in, full understanding of your argument and its implications for moving ahead. So think of this as a summary that is asking them to do something. Your call to action might begin with, and then they give us this example here. Peter, do you want to read it out?
I trust you can now see how redoubling our focus on using AI will be the basis for strong growth next year.
Yeah, or you might want something a little more direct and passionate, like, get out there and win! Win, win, win! You know?
Yeah, it depends sort of on thing. What your message is.
Depends what you're doing. Whatever your message, though, show how it can be implemented. So you want to lay out the plan for making it happen, I guess, basically. Not in too much detail, but broadly speaking. If you do this successfully, you will have led. You'll be the leader of the presentation. So, fantastic news. Listeners, that brings us to the end of our lesson on less PowerPoint, more power. And we hope your presentations are more powerful as a result of this time you've spent with us. But unfortunately, we are out of time for today. Hopefully, you'll join us again for another Advanced Studio Classroom soon. But until then, I'm Simon.
I'm Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.